I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up on the show, we'll bring in Cole Thompson, get his take on the new college football playoff rankings when we bring in the host of SEC Unfiltered. We already got college basketball taking place. Have you watched any college hoops this season? I watched Texas get smacked around by Duke a little bit last night. That was fun.
Ah, no, I don't have ESPN, so I'm still holding firm. And I haven't found, like, pirated ways to watch college basketball, because I have found ways to watch the NFL still. But still looking for good options when it comes to college hoops.
All right. Well, I'm still waiting on that Belmont bet. Whenever you want to throw it out there, I'm waiting. I'm going to get one of these bells we have here in studio, and as soon as I hear that Belmont bet, I'm going nuts on that bell. I really haven't used the bell. We've got four bells here. Do they still use these, D-Day? Yeah, all the time?
Yeah, we used to use them on the weekend all the time.
Okay.
We're the only ones in here now, though.
Yeah, it's just us. Last one standing here. Well, someone else we got ready to go here. We can ring the bell for him. Cole Thompson, host of SEC Unfiltered, also producer on Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Cole, good morning to you. And I'll start with the basics here before we get going. Do you agree with Ohio State over Indiana? Why or why not?
Hey, morning, guys. Yeah, I understand if you want to put Indiana in there. Their strength of schedule isn't as polished as maybe Ohio State, but at the same time, their margin of victory has been significantly better than anybody else in the country, especially in the top four. But when you look at Ohio State, the fact is that right now they are playing like the most cohesive team in the sport. They are dominating defensively. It's interesting that they lose nine starters, and they also lose their defense coordinator. And pencil-pushing Matt Patricia comes on in, and the numbers are actually even better than what they were a season ago. Caleb Downs is having a Heisman-caliber season that we're all overlooking because, well, you got a quarterback that's completing 80% of his passes to two elite top 10 wide receivers in the NFL draft over the next 2 years. And the offensive line is doing its job. They're handling business against quite literally everybody, any test that they've gone up against, whether it be a good Washington team, Texas coming on back in. They've made sure to eliminate their opponent and kind of make them obsolete. And to me, that is what screams number one team in the country. I have no problem with that. In fact, for my money, I actually have a little bit more of a problem about having Texas A&M a little bit higher. The way that they have looked, the way that they've responded, I think that there's a pretty good case that you can make them as the number two team in Indiana at number three, which, by the way, whenever we finally get to the finish line, the top four, if it is still going to be Alabama, Indiana, Texas A&M, and Ohio State, the winner of the SEC and the winner of the Big Ten are going to be one and two. So why not just get practicing for that standpoint?
Right, because there is a lot of stuff that will work itself out as the season goes on. And you mentioned Texas A&M, and I see that you are based in Houston. So I have to ask about Texas as well, because we know the final game of the season for Texas is against Texas A&M. So when you see Texas in the 11th spot, and it feels like they're in the driver's seat, is this a Texas team that you think will make the college football playoff?
Make it no, but at the same time, I'm not going to bet against them right now. Here's the beauty of what we've seen from Texas. When their offense is humming, it's a top 15 unit, and Arch Manning over the last six quarters has been as advertised. He has a completion percentage of 77.3%. He has six total touchdowns. He's led multiple scoring drives against Mississippi State in the comeback in Starkville and then the game against Vanderbilt last week. It was closer than expected, but we can talk about bad coverage and officiating regardless of that. The offense, as what we saw, is going to be the backbone of this team. And if they can go into Georgia in 2 weeks and be able to play that exact same level of consistency, Georgia's been playing with fire. And eventually, when you stick around with the flame a bit too long, you will get burnt. This is a very good offense that could jump out to a significant lead and kind of rewrite their pathway into the playoffs. Them being at number 11 does show volume that they are probably going to be favored as long as a Texas Tech or a BYU drops. But the thing is that because Texas Tech, BYU, and Utah are all in the top 13, there's going to be a pathway for there to be two teams from the Big 12, bare minimum, to get them into the 12-team playoff. And Texas still has to face off against two teams that very much are going to be ranked ahead of them. The Oklahoma battle as well gives them a slight advantage over Oklahoma if to say Oklahoma were to beat Alabama but lose to Missouri or LSU at the end of the year and still be 9-3. Texas has a good defensive line. They're secondary. People want to go ahead and say, well, you know, they lost their top cornerback and they lost two starting safeties. you're Texas. You bring in five-star talent every single year. One of the things that you completely, boast about in the SEC is that you have great depth. So you got to show me that depth is going to be able to bring it all together when you face off against top five teams in Texas A&M and in Georgia. But if you go win out and you're 10-2, you're a lock for the college football playoff. If you go 9-3 and you split the series between Texas A&M and Georgia, and let's say it's by a 3-point differential, there's going to be voters that look at that team and say, they have two significant wins, they have one significant loss, and everything else they handle business against. We at least got to consider putting them in as the number 11 seed.
We're talking with Cole Thompson. He is the host of SEC Unfiltered, also producer on Sports Talk 790 in Houston. So, Cole, do you have a beef with maybe there should be more SEC teams, or did the committee mostly get it right for now?
No, the committee got it right. If I'm being honest, I think that Tennessee needs to kind of be out of the picture. And here's the reason why, guys. How do we know Memphis is the top G5 team? They're not ranked. And neither is Tulane, and neither is North Texas, and neither is USF, and neither is James Madison. So if we're going to go down this pathway of saying that we need to have inclusion with the G5 program, which I'm not for, I'm not against. I personally would love to have a G5 playoff. It's more postseason at-stakes college football. But regardless, if we're going to go down this pathway, you have to have a spot for them in the top 25. So we're looking last night, and we're saying, oh, well, naturally, Memphis has to be the team on in. Well, why does Tennessee then need to be ranked? They don't have a significant win this year. They've played in overtime against two different opponents. They haven't beaten a ranked team so far in conference play. And they're guaranteed a spot in just because of it's the SEC. And meanwhile, we're talking about the status of James Madison, who right now is humming on all three cylinders. They have significant wins over everybody in the Sun Belt, but they have a loss to Louisville, which is in the top 15. And then we talk about Memphis, where Memphis has a win over an SEC team, but they have one of the worst losses to UAB. So how do we justifiably crown that there is a top G5 team when none are ranked? So if it comes down to us losing a team for the SEC, I have no problem with it. But if you want to go ahead and say we're going to include the G5 representative, you have to include the G5 representative in everything. That means in the top 25 to know who truly is the best team in that division.
Okay, so when it comes to these rankings, it always feels like somebody's going to be mad. And sometimes people are justified, and there are real reasons why they can point at the list and be like, hey, why are we further down than this team? Who do you think fits the bill for that team?
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan base that has a right to be angry with these rankings.
Oh my God, there's the easiest answer of all time, guys. It's Miami. It's 100% Miami. And it's not the fact that Miami is at number 18. It's the fact that Miami is at number 18. And who's at number 10? It's Notre Dame. And I would understand if you were to say, okay, well, we're going based off of projections. We're talking about that we believe at this point Miami is going to finish the year 9-3 and Notre Dame's going to finish the year 10-2. All right, fine. No problem there. But right now, they're both with 7-2 records. They both have a win against a ranked team. They both have a loss against a ranked team. And for Notre Dame's standpoint, Notre Dame has a loss to Miami. So if we're saying that records matter, and we're saying that head-to-heads matter, and we're saying that matchups matter, and clearly everywhere else they do matter because Vanderbilt is ranked ahead of Missouri, Texas is ranked ahead of Oklahoma, and Virginia is ranked ahead of Louisville, all games that were played on the field at an actual site where the head-to-head winner is ranked further ahead, why are we giving the benefit of the doubt to Notre Dame while meanwhile Miami is sitting behind them when they won the football game? And I understand Miami has been dreadful the last couple of games. They lost to Miami they lost to Louisville in horrendous fashion with four turnovers. The game against SMU was kind of a little bit of a choke job and also just flat out embarrassing. But the committee's supposed to go in with an unbrash and unbiased take. You look at Miami right now, the bottom line is that it feels like the voters are punishing them because of the expectations they had in their mind set when they faced off against Notre Dame after week one. Like, that's where we're at. Okay, now you're at 18 because of it. Because Notre Dame doesn't have a significant win over anybody. Notre Dame hasn't played up to the standard of some teams that we've seen in the ACC or some teams that we've seen in the Big 12. But they're Notre Dame, and they have won 7 straight, and they continue to rattle off wins. So we just give them the benefit of the doubt, despite the fact that if head-to-heads are supposed to be a dire factor, they should be right next to Miami, and they should be behind Miami. But unfortunately, Miami comes in at number 18, and it does feel like they're going to need a lot of chaos to happen while they have to win on out just to be in the chatter. Meanwhile, Notre Dame, who they beat, just has to win on out. No harm, no foul.
Cole, who is a team that is not in the top 12 right now? Not Miami, but a team that's kind of hovering right there that you think by the end could actually make a significant move here?
I mean, I think there's two. Louisville's schedule down the stretch is very, very relaxed. They have that matchup against Kentucky to kind of close things on out. They're going to be able to, I think, show the rest of the country that they are the most complete team in the ACC. So sitting at 15 is not that bad. But I look at Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt, a lot of people are going to go ahead and say, well, they were embarrassing against Texas. Okay, maybe, but they found a way to come back, and they only lost by 3, which, again, we could talk about bad officiating all we want, but they still found a way to respond. They close out the season with games against Kentucky, against Auburn, and against Tennessee. Tennessee right now, there's so many people that want Josh Heupel fired. So there's a lot of chaos currently going on in Neyland. Auburn just fired its head coach. They're not going to face off against Diego Pavia for a fourth time with Hugh Freeze at the helm to where he is going to find a way to mess things up. And Kentucky, for as good as they were last week, they were only good because of Auburn was terrible. So if they run the table, and then we see Alabama beat Oklahoma, and we see Texas lose to either Texas A&M or Georgia or both, and if Utah drops a game, and eventually somebody from the ACC is going to play against each other, whether it be Georgia Tech and Louisville or Virginia and Louisville, they drop a game, Vanderbilt's in a pretty good spot at 16 to be able to punch its way all the way up to number 11 and get a backdoor cover into the playoff. Maybe it's not the thought process they wanted, but for a lot of people out there, they said Vanderbilt was dead after losing to Texas. Not even remotely close. They just have to win out and get a little bit of a boost. But if those things happen, they're going to be in the 12-team college football playoff.
All right, so we have like a minute left, and I wanted to ask you this because these rankings are great for discussion, but at the end of the day, how many teams do you think can actually win the national championship? Is it a long list, or is it only a few teams?
I think in the best way they can put it in less than a minute, it's going to be based off of your matchups. How quickly can you go out and find out which teams you are facing off against in the 12-team postseason picture? Because I didn't believe Notre Dame could win a national title last year, but they got the benefit of the doubt because of their schedule. I didn't think Penn State could win a national title last year, but they got the benefit of the doubt because of their schedule. I truly think from a talent perspective, there are 6 teams that can win it. I think Alabama, Texas A&M, Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, and Ole Miss are good enough to win a national title. And maybe you could throw in Oregon. I just need to see a little bit more from them this weekend out at Kinnick Stadium. It's probably going to do wonders. But besides that, I only think that those are the numbers that we're looking at. From that standpoint, you also got to make sure that you get a beneficial matchup. Because the last thing you can afford to do is be a Georgia team that ends up being at the 5 spot. Then you have to face off against Alabama at the 4 spot, and your season's already done before you get out of the quarterfinals.
Make sure you check him out as host of SEC Unfiltered, also producer on Sports Talk 790 in Houston, and is our good friend Cole Thompson. Cole, always appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
Well, I appreciate a man who is willing to support Arch Manning, even if it's over 6 quarters. I'll just take what I can get. But he makes a really good point in not overreacting and saying, you know, overall, I think, you know, these things are built for debate. There's going to be some sort of hot take today that comes out and someone loses their minds over some sort of ranking. But I think on the whole here, there's not a ton to debate. You're always going to have some minor quibbles when you're talking about a 12-team playoff, because even if it's 128 teams, team 129 will be like, why not us? Look at our schedule. So these are always going to be a part of it. But I think on the whole, this is a pretty solid list.
Yeah, I think so as well. And again, once you have 12 teams in, like, how much bigger does the pot need to be, you know, for finding a national champion? Because from a talent perspective, usually you don't need to go that far even. But I do think possibly when the final rankings come out, the matchups will be something that people bicker about. Because, you know, if you are one of those teams that is down a few spots and you have a much tougher matchup in the first round, that's when people have a right to be angry. So we will, you know, we have fighting now, but just you wait until the final rankings of the season. Then people will be very angry.
Oh, God, don't you know it? That's when the real debate begins, because this is all just, this is all sunshine and rainbows for now. We've still got a full month until the official rankings are released. So if you're not in now, you can say, all right, we just got to keep winning. These teams will lose if we're not in. Or if you're already in, you say, yeah, let's just keep staying the course here. We're going to be fine. So there will be a lot of jockeying over the next 4 weeks, but that's when the real debate will take place. Coming up next, a little more debate on how we're going to win some money today. Yeah, maybe we'll do it in the NBA. Maybe. I'll ask Chelsea. That and more coming up next on The Daily Tip. It is here on the BetMGM Network on a Wednesday. Come on back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.